Hello, and welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast, where each episode we share actionable strategies for amping up your real estate marketing game. And now, here's your host, Dave Cole.
We welcome you into this edition. I'm Dave Cole. We're joined, by, as always, by our social media expert, Scott Winteroff. So welcome in, Scott.
Dave, hey, good to hear you on the radio here today. So yeah, been a little bit, but glad we're back, and ultimately lots of things to talk about. So Dave, tell us a little bit about something you found on the web.
Yeah, sure did. Actually, this is a at press time, as they say. This had just come out within the last 24 hours or so. It's a an article that's actually on Realtor Magazine. So this is, you know, official stuff, and it's about basically about somebody that clicked on a listing ad with no photos and wound up getting a good deal, which, okay, I guess that could happen. But the gist of the article, and to me, incredibly, it's through Realtor Magazine, which does such a great job, saying that, hey, don't overlook those, you know, listing ads without photos. And I just, for one, cannot believe that it's worded and posted in that way, like we're supposed to keep looking at these things, so without any photos. So to me, based on talking with not only buyers and on the consumer side, but also with agents and brokers, but to me, when there's no photo for a listing, that could spell some type of carelessness. Or just, you know, I mean, I understand that there is those times when an agent wants to get that listing up there right away. But even still, to me, it's if you don't have time to take photos and really be careful about what you're putting out there, that's not good either. Everything you do represents you as an agent or broker, and that needs to be spelled out. So if you don't have even, you know, a single photo for a new listing, to me, that's just like, oh yeah, whatever, we'll just put it up there, and this carelessness. And maybe it's from my background. Granted, I'm involved with things like virtual reality and virtual tours and 360 videos and all these things that are supposed to and are replacing photos, the next level up that agents are going to. And photos is like the most basic thing ever. It needs to be on there. One agent that I know and has something like 28 years in the business as an agent knows of a situation where possible seller got an email from an agent with a couple of spelling errors and decided not to go with that agent, because if they're spelling errors in an email, how accurate are they going to be on numbers with regard to the property? And that could make a difference. So I just don't understand how anything associated with Realtor Magazine or quote-unquote official could endorse putting up an ad without any photos on it. And, you know, Scott, obviously, in your line and your expertise dealing with social media and updating and getting the word out, I mean, you know, it's like putting up a post and, you know, on social media and not having any link or photo or anything to support it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because most listings, from my experience, most listings, if you find a listing and you get a deal out of it, right, that means that listing has been up for a while. So are you that lazy you can't add a photo over, or you're that busy you can't find time to add a photo for a listing that's maybe been up for a while? You know, because like that to me doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's so many opportunities out there. There's so many services that provide photos that do it at, you know, competitive rates. I mean, I can't even see why that would even be an issue or even happen today, to be honest with you. So yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, and I understand that there are situations where, you know, the interior is being gutted or there's some type of a problem. If that's the case, then take even if it's a single photo, a nice one of something from the exterior, or the outside's being painted and you want to show something from the interior, even if it's one photo, it's enough to attract attention.
But
anyway, we do want to move on to our topic today,
I have one more question about that.
Sure.
About this stuff way better than I do, but I mean, there's still opportunities to sort of Photoshop a photo and stuff like that as well. I mean, I don't know if that's something you could do, but ultimately, I mean, there's ways to touch up photos, even if it's just a filter, like something that makes it look nice that, you know, could make one photo look pretty great. So to me, that doesn't make any sense. But yeah.
Yeah, there are companies and some agents that do that. And we certainly don't want to go to the other extent and imply that, you know, photos of properties are photoshopped and changed, but I've seen instances of that. In fact, just about a month or so ago, looking at with one of my neighbors, because we'll, you know, track listings in the development we live in, and one of the neighbors that I know was saying, hey, they just saw that one of the properties is listed, and I look it up, you know, through searches and see the photo, and there were some trees and bushes, basically some landscaping in that photo that's not there and never been there. And so, yeah, it's, you know, a little bit of enhancement. It did make the place look better. However, you wonder about that. I mean, there's nothing illegal about it because this was outside of the property, but you wonder if somebody then goes to the property and doesn't see everything that's in the picture, if that makes them skeptical, but at least it can be done. But where that the, I guess we'll say, touching up of photos comes into play is there are some services with photos that maybe will take the photo is of an empty room, and they will put in basically staged furniture into the photo, and that's fine because people know they're not getting the furniture that's in the photo. They're seeing how that furniture looks in the room. So there is a way to do that, and to your point, yes, and that's the, I guess we'll say, care to the other extreme, not that that's extreme, versus not even putting up any photo and, you know, hoping somebody clicks on it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I I'm not sure the ethics behind that, and I wouldn't want to suggest something that's not, but ultimately, I mean, even just a simple, like, you can use even iPhone apps now that have like simple, just like a filter that you're not altering the photo, you're just using it to make it look better, which I can't see why anyone with a decent phone like an iPhone couldn't do themselves. But
right.
Who knows? All right, Dave. So yeah, let's get into the actual topic of the week. And what do you got on your plate today?
All right. Yeah, it's not a rant or anything, but we're calling it for now topping the chart. And that is the idea of finding out what you are number one in. For your, you know, as being an agent or broker, and in terms of, you know, helping you to get, whether it's listings or buyers, it's kind of the everybody's number one in something. And this is something that, as you know, Scott, we get into more in our workshops into more detail. And so what I do is I call this find your day part. What a day part is this is actually the term to borrow from the Nielsen ratings for radio and TV stations. So what they do is, of course, in taking the ratings for what channel or what station people are watching or listening to, but then the information is also taken and, I guess we'll say, divided up or shown statistically by male or female and by age group. So what happens in doing that is that, you know, Nielsen ratings are looking like, you know, they're doing all these ratings and all this work for their advertisers, which they are. So an advertiser can say, hey, we're looking to reach females between the ages of 18 and 34. What's the number one program on TV, or what's the number one or number two radio station in the afternoon when we want to run our commercials? And they can actually find that based on the ratings reports. So and what happens is that, yes, it's a value for advertisers and advertising agency. The real value is for the stations, because there's only one station that can be number one overall with the audience, and there may be different stations that are number one in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening or on weekends at different times of the day. But then after that, by having all these different age groups and all these breakdowns on the ratings, So a station could be number 20 overall in the ratings and have 19 other stations with a bigger audience. But if they're number one or number two in, you know, men 25 to 54 only during the afternoon, because that's their strongest show, that gives them something they sell to advertisers. Hey, you're reaching the second most, you know, we're in the top three or the top two or the top five stations in that age group at that time. This is why you should advertise with us, when in fact, as I say, there could be 19 or however many stations with larger overall audiences. So from the real estate standpoint, this is what we mean by find your day part, in terms of you are or maybe number one or in the top three in something. You just need to find what that is. And generally from agents marketing themselves, that's the branding thing, that's the whole social media that, of course, Scott, you know, you're very well aware of, and the importance of that. So it's a matter of doing research that is available, even if it's through, you know, Realtor.com, Redfin, and, you know, Zillow and all the rest have information about properties that were sold and by areas and by comps. So you as an agent, find out what you're number one in. And so there's some different topics, you know, find where you outrank other agents. You could be the most, and again, it doesn't have to be a zip code, a community or a neighborhood. You could have something that you're number one in. Maybe you've sold the, you know, the most listings in a 20 home development because that's your farm area. Then there's something to promote. You're the number one seller of, you know, Oak Hills Estates or the square mile area or some type of a community or of a neighborhood, or you're in the top three, or you've sold the most condos in, you know, name of suburb or name of neighborhood. And it's not always about selling the most either. It could be selling the fastest, for example. I know on Realtor.com and the other sites, they'll give you, after a property is sold, a number of days on the market. So you could maybe do an average and be able, you could use that to show, prove, if that's the case, that maybe you're selling, you're getting properties sold faster than 90% of the other agents in the area. So if somebody's looking to list and has a property in that area, they're going to say, wow, out of all these hundreds of agents, this is the one that sold, you know, sells the properties the fastest. So it's finding those things that you're able to point out. So it could be by area, by community, even by development. Check around your neighborhood. It could even be in a particular price range. It doesn't have to be the most overall. So you could be the one that sold the most, you know, houses or condos that are priced over $300,000 in your area, or whatever the case might be. Kind of keep going, keep digging down until you, for drilling down, I guess, to use the term with the CRMs and all that, is to be able to find things, at least one thing, that you are number one or you are among the top in. There's geographic, there's by price, there's by speed of sale. So also, another idea on doing this is that it could even be if you're an agent in a large office, maybe there's 20 or 30 other agents that are in your office. So take a look at the average selling times or pricing or things that even go on in your office, because you, to be able to say, hey, there's, you know, 25 agents in the office and I'm in the top two or three of, you know, this, or I'm number one in that within this office. So this way, as people are sold, so to speak, or know of your office, now it makes their decision one out of 25 agents to try to go with you, as opposed to one out of hundreds that may be representing properties in that area. And again, once you have this information, and there's a couple of more points yet, but I also want to bring up that once you have this information, Scott, and this is where you can fill everybody in, the idea is definitely to not keep that a secret. Now you have something that you can be putting out there regardless of how many or whether or not you even have a listing or a buyer or whatever you're looking at for, that this is something you have for your branding. So Scott, this is where you can fill them in on, you know, they just found out, hey, yeah, we're number one or we're the fastest seller of condos on the north side. what do they do with that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and of course, from a social media perspective, this stuff is great, especially if it's something that's out there, like in a press release or something that's, you know, maybe a statistic. If it's something that maybe you found yourself or something that's maybe not out there, obviously you can create graphics and you can add it to your social media and add it to your bios. It's just good content to have for anything, you know, because you can use it for prospecting, you can use it for social, you can use it in your email signature kind of thing. So it's stuff, and on your website. And I think this type of stuff, like being able to say I'm number one at XYZ, or I'm number, you know, our office is number one at XYZ, whatever, then you can also use that in conjunction with testimonials and other type of content that will help validate that you are who you are, and ultimately you are the one that they want to go with to provide that proof.
Right. And what do you suggest, Scott, in terms of, as I say, just that, yeah, they're number one or in whatever it is they could find? Is that something that you would maybe use as a, we'll say, a tagline? Should it always be on their Twitter feed, or should they be tweeting out or putting out Twitter, Facebook, you know, whatever, content or facts that relate to that? Just sold this in this area, looking for this. Or is it, in other words, you want to put it out there, you don't necessarily want to overdo it. So what do you recommend in terms of, as I say, is it more of a constant branding, or is it the, you know, as things come up that relate to whatever you're number one in?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it depends. And you kind of go with, you got to go with your gut and stuff like this. But ultimately, if it's like a really, really awesome statistic, like we're number one in the market or something like that, and maybe it's more of an office type thing, and then the office is branding it, then I would put it on probably everything. You know, if it's something that's more of your personal business and, or more related to your personal, part of your, as an agent, then, I would decide and I would probably put it on most of my customer facing communication, but I probably wouldn't put it on a lot of my, you know, other B2B stuff, kind of thing. Social media for sure. It just depends. I mean, you don't want to overdo it. It depends what you're saying. It depends the context, but I would just be cautious. The one, be able to sort of credibly verify it, and two, if there's a way to sort of attribute it to a source, I think that's even better. When you can, but ultimately you don't want it to be something that's kind of not believable either. If it's kind of something that's really hard, kind of hard to believe, then you have to be careful with that as well. People are skeptical, you know? So.
Yeah, exactly, Scott. I mean, you to a point need proof, but if you found this information to be factual, there is your proof. So it's even if you, let's say that you're the, you know, going with, and this is not the typical number one in properties sold, but maybe you want to pick up that you're able to sell properties faster than, you know, 50 other agents in the zip code or in the development, or you don't always have a number of agents. But in other words, if you're the, and again, this is information you could find out. It takes research that you could do on your off time. You could have an assistant do, who, you know, you're the college student, you know, that's a whiz with, you know, everything on the computer. You can have somebody find out. So, for example, it's not necessarily a number one, but to say, you know, you're the fastest at selling within this zip code, or you've sold, you know, an average of 5 days faster, or whatever the statistic is that you come up with. What you need to do for your proof would be, and it could even be as simple as you're finding this on, let's say, realtor.com or one of the, you know, credit-worthy sites, is even just take a screenshot of what you find and just have a folder somewhere available, whether it's on your cloud or on your computer, showing exactly what you found. So if you were to be questioned, or if you even want to, you know, maybe you're doing a blog or something longer form, or doing a listing presentation where you can show proof and use it not so much for the purpose of saying, yeah, you see, I have proof, but use that proof to further the impact of what you find. So in other words, if I say, hey, I'm the fastest at selling listings in this whole townhouse development, then if you're telling a potential seller or, you know, buyer or client in some form, or you're looking to get that person's attention or business, you can say it. But then when you say, see, here's this that I found on realtor.com and this that I found on Zillow and this that I got from our office and this that I got here. And, you know, it's almost like to think of it as you're an attorney and you have all this evidence, but you still want to make sure that that criminal or whoever, you know, did you wrong is going to get put away and you're not going to stop until they are. So it's kind of taking that theory, and that's what I say, finding your day part, because it's, you know, if you find out you're nowhere near number one in selling this or that or doing this or that, don't worry about it. Go on and keep trying on the next topic, the next possibility. It is, it's property sales. It's, it could be the fastest. It could even be something dealing with, I guess we'll say demographics, where you might have sold the, you know, the most properties in a senior community or something where it does have appeal to a certain age group, and that's who you're going after. So it's actually not that difficult to find things that you're number one in. It may be a really small area, but if you're number one within this, you know, development or community, okay, it's still something you can point out to something that's nearby. So maybe there's the next development that's a couple of blocks over. You say, hey, we're number one down the street. Obviously, we know what we're doing, and we know how to bring people into this community. So there are ways to expand beyond what you're actually number one in. It's just a matter of, you know, putting that together and being able to brand themselves. It's also, it could be, you know, you're number one, you're in the top three, you're in the top five. And even if you say, hey, we're in the top five, you know, best selling in this zip code, it could be 10 agents total or 7 agents total selling in that zip code, but that's not your job to report. You can be top three, top five, top one, and it may be a very narrow field. So think of that. And that's the one thing that I know from getting feedback in, because I do a whole section of the workshop on this and come up with some more ideas that we just don't have time for on this podcast. But it's the message is to don't get discouraged. Just keep digging until you find something that you're number one or you're toward the top on, or that's that selling, that marketing point for you that you can use, as we were just saying, not only in your social media and keep reminding people, but for things like your listing presentations and sales pitches, that it's maybe even a way to help defend your price on a property, that, you know what, I'm in the top three of this or that. I know what this is going to sell for. Don't let anybody tell you that it's more money or it's less money or whatever the situation is, depending on which side of the negotiating fence you're on. So you can also use your finding directly in a negotiation or in a sale, as long as you have the proof to do that. So another agent could be maybe pitching the same property. It could even be a bid on behalf of a buyer. And so by you having that file, that folder, the photos, or whatever the case might be, to be able to prove and back your claim, you can be doing that and show, here's 5 instances, here's 10 instances of what I've done. Here's the proof that I'm number one or I'm number two. And because so few agents actually come up and do this, at least at this point in time, so chances are, if you're in a competitive situation with one or more agents and you have all this proof, chances are the other agents won't have that proof ready, at least at that time. So that could be a big advantage for you. So there is more to doing this, Scott, than you, for your social media and for your branding and for your marketing. And as you know, I would never diminish the importance of that, but this is kind of the double whammy. So I wanted to get your feeling, Scott, on that, that it's not only using it on social media, as I say, it's having it for that double impact, the double whammy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's always good to have that type of content in your arsenal. You'll never know when you need it, and stuff that you can push out pretty regularly. In terms of social media too, and you sort of hit on what I was thinking, is that you would have, like, you know, usually when I prospect with clients, I bring a folder or some type of literature that talks about why I'm their best bet. And obviously having, what I was sort of hitting at with the proof is just having that for like a dossier of stuff that you would bring to a client proposal. But the other thing in terms of social media and or search engine optimization in terms of where your site ranks online, that could be stuff that you should look, that's pretty easy to access. I mean, anyone can pretty much look at this stuff. Obviously, if you are like the number one organic listing for home sales in your market, then that's something that you could also put in your client proposals or on your social media and say, hey, look, people looking for homes, we're number one in these search terms. Or, for example, we have more followers on Facebook than anyone else in this market, XYZ. So, again, stats that you can pretty easily find and or work towards achieving. You know, obviously, people like Dave and myself can help people rank better and help grow their following online, but that's a little plug for us, sorry. And the next thing is, actually not sorry, and the next thing is ultimately, then you can take that information that gives you content to share on your Facebook, on your social media, and all the places, like, for example, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, where you can put that information when you're posting, or even create a conversation surrounding why you are number one and how essentially you help clients buy and or sell.
Right. And you could point out, as far as getting the word out, and this is something else, kind of the heavy little tip at the end, that there are things that you can do that you do not post, you do not put on literature, but that you have available for the right moment. And that is, if you're in, and you often are, in competition with other agents, whether it's for listings or trying to get bids or for the sale, that you could have those facts that you would not point out that maybe reflect against another agent or group of agents or office in your area. So, for example, if you're with, you know, ABC Realty and you've got, you know, way better credentials and more proof against XYZ Realty in the neighborhood, you wouldn't go on and bash XYZ Realty anywhere in print, anything that you hand out, anything you post necessarily on social media, to make it look like a competitive thing. But if you're sitting in a room one-on-one and where you're not leaving everything with that person or that group, then you could whip out the, well, here's what XYZ Realty did, here's what we do to counteract that, here's how we are better than they are. And that is a situation where you could use specifics to, I don't want to say attack the competition, even though that's what it is, but you're doing so by giving proof to the source at the time. You're not leaving them or putting it out on social media or making it this whole like public thing where you're bashing or directly comparing yourself with the competition. So again, even in, you know, these situations, it's a matter of being ready. It's kind of the, you know, the lawyer that gets shot down, you know, with his objection, but yet will ask that question and then withdraw the question because he's put the thought out there, or she has put the thought out there to the jury, and you do have ways to do that. And so it could even be, in doing your research, you find something where, boy, we really outrank that other agent I'm trying to get business away from, or that other office. Save that, and it's just a matter of using it when it's in that situation where you're not leaving any proof or leaving a trail that this is what you did. So, Scott, and it's kind of that way too with social media. You don't necessarily, I guess, unless you're a politician, you don't necessarily go on there and bash or deliberately make any individual or company specifically look bad. But when you're not on social media, you're in those situations where, you know, you're selling, you're doing what you do, then you want to be ready. So it's that kind of theory, and I think that's the kind of the final point to hit home with. So anything to add to that, Scott?
Yeah, well, I couldn't say that better myself. I mean, obviously, it's not really about – there's no real reason to mention other people on social and other competition, in my opinion. But also, I would defer to the good old book by Mr. Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Gain Influence. And talking bad about other people is definitely not part of one of his teachings. So yeah.
Right. Dave, yeah. It's not so much, talking bad. It's just showing that, hey, this is what you've done.
Yeah.
So I guess probably just to make it look like that we're not saying to bring up negativity, but I guess it's, let me use professional sports as an example that, I mean, we can all see statistically that, this player is averaging 20 points a game in basketball and another player is averaging 8 points a game. But that player that's averaging 8 points a game, they may have, more steals or more rebounds or more this or that than the player averaging the 20 points. So that player averaging 8 points a game isn't going to put that out on his social media. But when they're in negotiating their next contract with management, then their agent's going to have those statistics showing those ways that they've outperformed the player that's getting more notoriety in certain situations. So I guess that's more what we mean. It's not intended to bash and say, don't sign that other player. It's just say, here's situations where we compare more favorably to that player or, in other ways. So I guess that's probably the best way to sum up in terms of how we mean that. So speaking of summing up, that's what we need to do. So great topic this week.
Yes.
And let's say that that's a wrap.
All right, Dave, that sounds great. Listen, that's another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast with Dave Cole. Be sure to head on over to our website at davecole.com to learn more about our past episodes and to learn more about marketing for real estate in various aspects. Please subscribe to our podcast on Apple, iTunes, or Google Play, or any podcatcher service of your choice. And if you like what you're hearing and you think we've got some good ideas for you, please leave a rating on the podcast. That really helps us reach new people, and we really appreciate it. That's a wrap for this week. Bye for now.